turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 21, the book of Exodus, chapter 21, and we will read the first six verses. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them, God speaking to Moses. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In Exodus chapter 20, we read of the Ten Commandments. And here in Exodus 21 through chapter 23, there are some regulations that God gave the people of Israel through Moses along with the Ten Commandments. Notice verse 1, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. The word judgment simply means these are the statutes, these are the regulations, these are the rules, these are the dictates that I want you to set before the people. God gave Moses these regulations, of course, to govern the people, I believe, so that the people would be blessed. These judgments, like all of God's laws, are designed to keep God's people safe, to make them prosperous and happy, to have a good life. These judgments were designed to enable them to enjoy life and to promote the good of the people. The verses that we've read for our text contain a regulation concerning Hebrew slavery. Now, under Old Testament law, there were several ways that a person could become a slave. A person could become a slave to pay off their debts. By serving a period of time, the debts could be repaid and the person would be free from his or her obligation. Poor people could seek refuge by becoming a servant. In exchange, they would receive food, clothing, and housing. Thieves also could make restitution by a period of slavery, by a period of service. In our text, servitude was limited by law to a maximum of 6 years. And in the seventh year, that slave was permitted to go free. That slave could go back to his former life, could go back to his former way of living. But there was an exception to that law. If the slave did not want to leave his master, did not want to leave his master's house, the slave could determine to become a permanent slave. He could determine to become a slave to this particular master for the rest of his life. In such a case, at the end of 6 years, If this servant wanted to stay with his master, he was, of course, to make his wishes known to his master. His master would then bring the servant to the judges. And it was there that the servant would again plainly declare his voluntary decision, his voluntary choice to remain a servant to his master. Notice verse 5, he says, "And if thy servant shall plainly say, I love my master, I will not go out free." So the master, the servant, appear before these judges. And the servant says, "This man here, he's my master. And I love him. And I don't want to go back to my former life. I don't want to go back to my former way of living. But I want to be identified for the rest of my life with this man. I want to stay with him. I want to serve him the rest of my life." You'll see in verse 5 that he was to plainly say this. That is, it was to be a very clear and explicit statement. It was not something that he was to say with hesitation. It was not something that he would have misgivings about. He was to state his desire in such a way that the judges had no doubt, this man wants to stay with his master. He was to state his intentions. He was to state his purpose. I want to stay with this man. And he was to do so where there would be no confusion on the matter, where there would be no uncertainty concerning the matter. After this was done, the master and the servant were to perform an act to make it official. And this was a public declaration. It was a public sign of the servant's commitment to his master. The servant was brought to the doorpost. The master would take something similar to a nail, drive it through the lobe of the servant's ear into the doorpost. And that servant was now marked for his master in a very noticeable way. Now, I have preached from this passage in the past. We have preached a message, Perpetual Servants. We preached another message, Let It Be Plainly Said. And in those messages, we considered the details of the servant's voluntary decision to remain with his master. Today, I want to center our thoughts upon two words found in verse 5. My master. My master. I want to present to you today my master. And in the light of that presentation, we need to put ourselves in the place of this servant in our text and say, I love my master. I will not go out free. I want to speak this morning on the subject, my master. First thing about him is his name. Throughout the Word of God, there are well over 200 titles given to him. But his name is Jesus. He has many titles, but His name is Jesus. It is a name that was chosen by God. Mary was instructed in Luke 1:31, call His name Jesus. The Lord did not say, Mary, go down to the bookstore, buy a book on babies' names, and just choose out a good name. You call His name Jesus. Joseph was instructed in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call His name Jesus. So both Mary and Joseph were instructed at separate times, you call His name Jesus. And when we get to Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, we read His name was called Jesus. My Master. My Master's name is Jesus. It is a name that describes His being. It is a name that describes His character. It is a name that describes His attributes. It is a name that describes His power. And it is a name that describes His purpose. Remember when the angel appeared to Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. It is a name that is above every name. Notice in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, He has been given a name which is above every name. Verse 10, we're told His name, the name of Jesus. We've already read it is a name which is above every name. And we are specifically told in verse 10 three things that His name excels. Things in heaven. You think about heaven. The name of Jesus excels everything in heaven. Things in earth. And things under the earth. His name is Jesus. Is a name above every name. It is a superior name to all other names. It is a name that goes beyond all. It is a name that is preeminent. And this one named Jesus, He's my Master. And it is stated in Hebrews 1, verse 4, that He being so much better, obtained a more excellent name. The name Jesus. There is no name more influential than the name of Jesus. It is a name that has had incomprehensible effect and impact throughout the history of the world. In fact, it is a name that has had some sort of impact upon every race and upon every language of people. Song of Solomon 1 and verse 2, the bride said, speaking of this Jesus, she said, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. What is his name? Jesus. Ointment was used to make the face to shine. Ointment was used to bring cheer and refreshment. Ointment was used to mollify and heal wounds. And that name, Jesus, is as ointment poured forth. My Master's name is Jesus. That name has brought more comfort to the dying than any other. When I'm with the dying, saved or lost, and they may have become comatose, I whisper in their ears everything I can think of about Jesus. Because he's what they need. Saved or lost, he's what they need. No one or anything has altered or reshaped the course of man's lives than this one who is named Jesus. No one has brought more lasting and drastic change to the hearts and lives of men than this one Jesus. My Master, his name is Jesus. That's a saving name. Innumerable people have been rescued and set free and spared by this one named Jesus. It is a devil-defeating name. The demons of hell tremble at that name, Jesus. It is a death-conquering name. My Master's name, oh, he has many, many, many titles. But his name is Jesus. That is a name that impacts and transforms death. That is a name that impacts and transforms darkness. It impacts and transforms brokenness and hurt and hopelessness and weakness and weariness and anguish and sorrow and disappointment and defeat and chaos and uncertainty and fear. No other name has made such a difference in time and eternity as the name of Jesus. Now, when that servant stood and said, I love my Master. I will not go out free. Perhaps the judges would ask, Sir, do you fully understand that at this moment you no longer have to be a slave to this man? That at this very moment you can go free. At this very moment, you can go home. Do you understand? Do you understand this? And he would say again, I love my Master. I will not go out free. And perhaps those who would witness that scene, they might think to themselves, he's crazy. Give me my choice, I'm going free. I don't understand why he's made such a choice. You know why they didn't understand? Same reason people don't understand today. They didn't know this man's master in the way he did. They didn't know him the same way. I ask you today, do you know this man? Do you know this one named Jesus? This servant would point to his master. He would say, I love my master. I love my master. We need to put ourselves in his place. And we need to point to Jesus publicly. This man, Jesus, he's my master. I love him. I want to serve him. I want to work for him the rest of my life. This man, Jesus, he's my master. And I want everyone to know that I prefer and I esteem him above all others. I refuse to go my own way. I refuse to go back to my former life. This man, Jesus, he's my master. And I have chosen to remain with him the rest of my life. Yes, I know that I can go free. I know I can do things my own way. But I choose my master Jesus, and I choose to be under his rules and his ways and to serve his interests for the rest of my life. My master, his name is Jesus. Let me tell you something about his person. You see, this servant, after spending 6 years with his master, he got to know him. He got to know him. My master, he's God. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's immortal. He's invincible. He's incomprehensible. And he's indescribable. I love to preach about Jesus. But at the same time, every time I do, I get a little bit depressed. Because I can't describe him the way I want to. He's indescribable. My master, he's God's Son. He's the Lord from heaven. He's King. In fact, the Bible refers to him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator. And he's the sustainer of all things. He is the owner, the heir, and the possessor of all things. My master, he's almighty. He's the possessor of all power in heaven and in earth. My master, he is all. He's everything. The Bible refers to him as the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z. He's the first and the last. And may I say, he's everything in between. He's the beginning and the end. He has no predecessor. He has no successor. Because he's eternal. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's the bread and water of life. He's the true and faithful one. My master. If you look at him real good, examine him, you'll find that he's holy. He's spotless. He's pure. He's impeccable. You don't have to spend too long with anybody to realize that they're not perfect. But you examine Jesus. He has no flaws. His name is Jesus. He's my master. His ways are always right. His word is eternal. And his will is unchanging. And he cares. He cares for me. You see, my master, he's the hiding place in the midst of the wind. He's the covert in the midst of the tempest. He's the rivers of water in a dry land. He's the rock in the midst of a weary land. My master, he not only has the greatest of all names, there's nothing wrong with him. He's perfect. In fact, he's God's provision. He's God's remedy. He's God's cure. He's God's solution. He's the roadway to righteousness. You can't go wrong following this master. He's the highway of holiness. He's the way to God. My master. Look at him. See him by faith. Hear those words of that servant. My master. My master. Think about Jesus as your master. My master. There's no battle that he cannot win. There is no problem that he cannot solve. There is no need that he cannot supply. There is no obstacle that he cannot overcome. There is absolutely nothing broken that he cannot mend. Nothing ruined that he cannot restore. My master. There's no load that he cannot carry. There's no storm that he cannot calm. There is no hurt, there is no wound that he cannot heal. My master. My master, he can take discouragement. And just with his presence, turn it into encouragement. He can take uncertainty and turn it into absolute certainty. He can take upheaval and unrest and transform it into peace. He can take defeat and turn it into victory. My master, look at him. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's incomparable. He's supreme. Now, when that servant stood and said, I love my master, I will not go out free. Again, I'm sure the judges would make sure that he understood what was at stake. And I'm sure that there were many who would not understand this servant's position. But that's because they didn't know the master in the same way that the servant knew the master. Again, I ask you, do you know this master by the name of Jesus? Do you know him? If so, it seems to me that you would be willing to take the position of the servant. If our master is so great and so magnificent, it seems to me that we would very plainly say, this is my master. And I'm willing to invest and spend the rest of my life for him. We could say with this servant, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But whatever it is, I want it to happen attached and identified with this, my master. That's what that servant was saying. He didn't know what was going to happen. He's saying, whatever it is, whatever's going to happen, I want it to happen with me being attached and identified with my master. That ought to be our desire as well. We don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it's going to happen, I want to be attached and identified with Jesus. Thirdly and lastly, my master. We've told you his name. A little bit about who he is. Let me tell you what he's done. In my life. You see, this servant felt an obligation to his master because his master had treated him well. Because his master had blessed him, perhaps had given him a wife by whom he had children. But my master, he brought me out of the pit of corruption. Brought me out of the enslavement and binding and holding power of sin. My master did that. He brought me out of the entanglement of sin. Out of the darkness. And out of the ignorance and blindness of sin. And out of the filth of sin. And out of the depths and the despair and the wretchedness and the devastation of sin. He brought us out of the restlessness of sin. He brought us out of a life of barrenness. You see, my Master, He rescued me from the debilitating control of Satan. In so doing, He saved my soul, He saved my life, and He spared me what I deserved. I was dead, and through Him, I received the gift of life. I was in darkness, and through Him, I was brought into the light. I was guilty, but I received pardon through Him. I was far, far off from God, and through Him, I was brought near. You see, I stood condemned before a holy and righteous God, but through Him, I was declared just. We were thoroughly polluted in our sin, but by Him, we were cleansed. We were enemies to God, yet through Him, we were reconciled. We were unacceptable in God's sight. Through Him, we were made acceptable. We were bankrupt before God. We owed much. We had nothing to pay. But we were made rich by Him. We were in a hopeless situation, but He brought hope. You see, my Master, one day in God's timetable, He came and He proceeded to live a perfect life on earth before God. And He said, Father, that life that I live, that's for Dan Gordon. That's for him. Put it to his account. He then went to the cross with all of my sin, and He was condemned in my place. My soul and my life has been saved by this man, Jesus. He's my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's treated me so well. He has never left me. He has never forsaken me. He has never forgotten me. He has never misled me. Many, 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 many times I have fallen and He has lifted me up. Many times He kept me from falling. In weakness, He's given us strength. Many times when we've lost our way, there He is as the way. Many times we've been afraid. There He was to give courage. How many times He's healed us? How many times He's mended us? How many times He has fed us. And He shields us. You see, my Master, every time and in every way, He is God. He's faithful. I am His, and He is mine. And when this servant openly said, without any hesitation, I love my Master. I will not go out free. Many would not understand such a position. But again, that's because they didn't know this man's Master. People say to children of God, you can do what you want. Yes, you can. Humanly speaking, that's true. Do what you please. But if you know the Master, you don't want to do what you please. So I ask you today, do you know Him? Have you received from Him? Are you enjoying the blessings of this one named Jesus? People will try and try and try to convince someone to do right, to live right, someone who has professed salvation. But the strongest argument is our Master. It's who He is. If you know Him, how can you not say, I love my Master. I will not go free. Or we could say, I love my Master. I will not. And then you can add whatever you want at the end of that. Many temptations out there today. The best way to meet Satan's temptation is to say, I love my Master, I will not. Get your eyes on the Master. I love Him. This is my Master. All that I have, I owe to Him. Hear that servant say, I love my Master. I'm grateful to my Master. And today I prefer Him above all others. Today I esteem Him above all others. He's my Master. And I want to be identified with Him for the rest of my life. And I want my life governed by His rules, by His ways, and I refuse to go back. Do you know this one named Jesus? Do you know Him today? Everybody serves somebody. Contrary to popular belief, I'm my own man. Well, you're serving yourself. That's a very cruel master. Do you know Jesus as your Master? Are you identified? Are you attached to Him? Think of His name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Every day we ought to say that name. Every day. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't say the name Sharon. Certainly there should not be a day that goes by I don't say that name Jesus. Think about who He is. Think about who He is. Think about what He's done. And stand with this servant and say, I love my Master. I will not go my own way. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.